This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Just another trial by fire. Just another trial by fire.
Joining us now, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. We're going to be talking about it's a fascinating little story. How Paul, after shipwreck, and this is not the only time he is shipwrecked, but the one we know the most about. After shipwreck, Paul is brought from Malta, an island, to where he knew he was going all along, where Christ himself had prophesied he would go at the very call of Paul on the Damascus Road. He was going to speak the gospel before kings, indeed, although it's not included in the book of Acts, perhaps even before the emperor of Rome himself. He's appealed to Rome, he's going to Rome, and how he gets there is a rather circuitous route. Joining us to talk about Paul's journey from Malta to Rome, Acts chapter 28, the first 16 verses, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis, their Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, it's great to be back.
He's just been shipwrecked. That's a story in and of itself, a pretty interesting story. One of the more detailed shipwreck stories from the ancient world that we have, but they all kind of wash ashore on this island of Malta. What is Paul in the middle of right now?
Well, he's in the middle of people who don't know who the true God is, and he's on this little island, and things are happening, and they're making judgments about him based on what's happening to him and what he's doing, and all of that judgments coming out of things that they don't understand who the real God is, who the true God is, and it's really quite an opportunity for Paul with these people, and as he makes his way to Rome, as you say, for his trial. He gets there on Malta with everyone, and everyone, it says, the text begins, all were brought safely through, and that's the finish of that story about the shipwreck. 276 people, God had given Paul the vision to know that they would survive, and they did. And they end up on this little island, and they're native peoples, and he has shown hospitality by them. The writer here, who we know is Luke, and he's writing this as first person, like he's there. He's accompanying Paul on this journey, and he is experiencing these things as well. And he says that the people showed us unusual kindness and kindled a fire and welcomed us all. And he even talks about that it had begun to rain and it was kind of cold. And this is kind of the winter months there, and so it wasn't the bright, sunny Mediterranean that we think about when we think about a ship ride in the Mediterranean. And Paul gets into things. He helps build the fire, gathers sticks, and a snake bites him. And that's the first clue about these people. They see the creature, and in their minds, he must have done something to deserve to be bitten by a snake. And natural religion always goes to that, to retribution. He must have done something. He deserves this. Even though he escaped from the sea, now justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul is able to shake that snake off into the fire and has no problem from it. And the natives, though, continuing to watch, sure, he's going to swell up or fall down dead. And nothing happens to him, and then they change their minds and say, well, then he must be a god. So still, in their ignorance about who the true God is, but understanding something spiritual going on here beyond themselves. And then Paul is given the opportunity, with the chief of the island to witness to him and to the power of God, because his father is sick. He's got fever and dysentery. Paul visits him, prays, and puts his hands on him and heals him. And now the rest of the people on the island, word gets around quick, and those who are sick come, and Paul heals them. And verse 10 says that they greatly honored them and were ready to give them whatever they needed to set sail. And then the rest of that few verses is about, you know, they did set sail after 3 months there on Malta, because they had to winter there. And it wouldn't be till about February when the shipping lanes would open up again. And they were on a ship with the twin gods, the sons of Zeus, carved into the front of it, and stayed in Syracuse for 3 days. It's just a wonderful account of their journey. And they eventually run into people, other Christians, who invite them to stay at one of these stops for 7 days, and they finally make it to Rome, and then again, more believers in Christ. And all this time, Paul is, he's a prisoner, he's not a free man, but they come out to meet him, and this strengthens Paul. He thanks God for them, and he's so trusted as a prisoner, as a Roman citizen who's a prisoner, that he's allowed to stay by himself with just a guard. So that's those 16 verses, and interesting what's going on here.
It's hard to kind of remember, especially as Luke is telling the story, almost the way, I mean, it's a travelogue. You can actually get out the map and see where they were and where they were going. He's pretty detailed in the account of how it went for them. In even the simple kind of everyday details, it's easy to forget that Paul is on his way, we know, probably to his eventual trial and execution, even though the trial may be some years off. He's probably not going to leave Rome.
That's right. This is all kind of his journey to his end. But in all of it, on the boat, on the shipwreck, on the island, on the places he stops, he is clearly looking to God for his strength and salvation, and witnessing to the power of God in his life, and being used by God to preach, to heal, to draw men to Christ and the cross of Christ. And it's a wonderful text to pull out a map. And the materials for the summer lesson have a map in them. And you could pull up something on a, off of the web and see where these places are today, what we call them, and where he actually journeyed. Very much detailed. And you're right, there's a sense of sort of it's a common, it's a sea journey, but a lot going on here, and it is Paul's journey to finally his last days on this earth because of the trial and because of who he has been and what he has preached, the name of Christ.
One of the things that comes out, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break, and you've mentioned it a little bit already, is the profoundly pagan world that Paul finds himself in. And it seems a little odd to us that people would be declaring Paul at once a murderer and then later a god and consider him divine. But this is the world in which Christ was first being proclaimed by Paul and the other apostles, especially in the Gentile world, a world not of just one god, but of many gods. We'll talk about Paul's message there. Even as he remains in Rome as a prisoner under house arrest, he continues to proclaim Christ. Even as he awaits his trial, he knows it must come. He is continuing to proclaim Christ and him crucified. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 16th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Why will churches often use a shell to symbolize holy baptism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is Behold the Lamb, an Introduction to Christian Symbolism. It's written by regular guest Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Behold the Lamb costs $9.49 plus shipping and handling. You can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. Behold the Lamb, an Introduction to Christian Symbolism.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. About another 10 minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen talking about Paul's journey from Malta to Rome in Acts chapter 28. Then in the second hour, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to respond to an online petition to get Sesame Street Bert and Ernie to get married, finally, to come out and admit that they are a gay couple. I don't think it's going very far. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us after that. We'll remember, along with the rest of the church, one of the Old Testament patriarchs, Isaac. Pam, the story that Luke tells here is of Paul, who is intent upon not just having his day in court, but is intent upon continuing to testify to Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read the verses that follow the text that we're looking at here, he kind of has to explain himself, and he says, look, the reason I'm wearing this chain, so you know, the reason I'm a prisoner under house arrest is because of the hope of Israel, he says. Talk about Paul's determination to continue to preach regardless of his circumstances.
Well, that's right. His whole ministry, in places he lists all the misfortunes or troubles, trials, beatings, sicknesses that have befallen him, and yet through it all, he is so determined to preach the gospel. He trusts in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He trusts in a Heavenly Father to provide and to care for him. And he boldly preaches, as boldly as, you know, we talked about a week or so ago about Paul's persecution of the church when he was outside the church. And with such vehemence, he went after Christians and did everything he could to stop the message of Christ. And God found him on the road, stopped him, blinded him, and then opened his eyes to see who Christ is. And from that point on, Paul has just been tireless in his proclaiming and trusting in the Lord, and God giving him the words, the energy, guiding his journeys, enabling him to do miracles in the name of Christ, all of these things to draw people to the Savior. And really, of course, he's a great man of faith, an example for us, and yet how God worked in his life is the greater story. How God works in through misfortune and challenge and trouble and hardship and sickness, in all these ways, and cares for his servant Paul. This is the same God that we have, and I think one of the most significant things about a Bible story like this, where you get such detail and you have the writer talking about geographical places and the time of year and the weather and all of these things, to really underscore for the children, Paul was real. These people he met were real. There was, you know, there is this island Malta. There is the sea that he sailed in. All of these things, this is a historical record. This is an account of real people and real events. And they can trace that on a map and look into what other things were going on in history at that time. But such an important thing for kids to see. This just isn't some fictional story that God puts to help us feel good about him or our faith. It's real. And this message then that Paul preached was real, the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And in all of that, all that he's going through, he continues to preach, to heal, to pray, to point people to their Savior.
How would you explain it? Why doesn't he swell up or fall over dead the way that people expect him to when sitting by that fire after the shipwreck, that snake is attached to his hand?
Well, it's no different than any other miracle that we study and read about in Scripture from days of old. God is at work here, and he's using this as an opportunity to make a way for Paul to be able to speak about the one true God with pagan people who have no idea. And, you know, we talked before the break about this there. Their religion is the only religion you can have if it has not been revealed to you who the true God is through his word and by the Holy Spirit. You have only natural religion to look and see what happens to people, and the natural religion always ends in this kind of understanding of retribution. You did something bad, now something bad's going to happen to you. Acknowledging some greater, higher power, not knowing what it is, and seeing that it can only be kind of square and just. And so to get this message of a God who loves us enough in spite of our sin, in spite of what we deserve, sends his Son to die for us, to pay the price for what our sins deserve, so that we don't have to suffer eternal death. This is a whole different message than any pagan person could ever get from nature or from pagan religions, and it is a unique message in all the world, and it is the truth that God loved us so much that he sent his Son to suffer and die for us, to pay for our sins, that we might have eternal life. And that's Paul's message, and God's giving him, you know, giving him the power to preach it, to perform miracles, to heal the sick, to fend off a snake who's clearly bitten him, and he should be sick and dying, and he lives. This is a message about the one true living God in Jesus Christ, whom he sent.
Is the world in which we find ourselves, which the church finds itself today, with the same message of Christ and him crucified for sinners, that different from the world of Paul as we find him here at the end of his journey?
Wow, you know, I was thinking about that too. Maybe we're in a, you know, especially in the Western world where we think we're all so civilized and settled, oh, how could we think like these pagans? And yet, all around us are people even who have maybe been born into the church or raised in the church or had some contact with the church, who operate like this. Oh, God's going to strike me down for what I just did, or, you know, you better watch out, you're going to get what you deserve. This is the natural way that we think, and there's so much false teaching, so much false religion. All of the major world religions focus on this kind of thing. You do something wrong, you get what you deserve, bad karma or punishment. And Christianity is unique in all the world, and it's uniquely true and life-giving. There's much for us to preach and proclaim. There's much for us to share this good news of who Christ Jesus is for us in a world that is frightened and dying and knows not where to turn for true help and salvation.
With only about 30 seconds here, can we count on God's provision protection as we see it evidenced in Paul's travels here? God was equally determined that Paul get to Rome and proclaim the gospel. Mm-hmm. Can we count on it today? With about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. We count on God to do what he does for us out of his love. He promises to love us. He promises to work all things together for the good of those that love him. We know that he sends his holy angels to guard and protect us. And, just like Paul wasn't spared from a shipwreck, I mean, the shipwreck, it was perilous, and things happened, and people get sick and people die. But in all of that, God is watching, providing for, caring for us, and looking out for us, his children, so that we might one day be with him forever and have eternal life. And he uses those challenges to turn us to him, to cry for mercy, to look to him and trust him. And all of that is his love protecting us for eternity.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Next week, we'll be talking with her about Philemon and Onesimus, a slave and a former master. Concordia Publishing House has a Sunday school curriculum. It is called Growing in Christ. It is with that equal determination that gripped St. Paul by the Holy Spirit that Concordia Publishing House presents Growing in Christ, that Christ would be proclaimed on every page of Scripture, in every story of Scripture, Christ in his saving work for us. That's what Growing in Christ is all about. You can get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for the Growing in Christ link. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., well, I remember as a little kid when they first appeared on the screen. These two buddies, these two friends who lived together, Bert and Ernie, one of the very first Muppets to appear on Sesame Street. I never would have thought in my first grade mind, I think that's about how old I was when Sesame Street first started, I never would have thought in my first grade mind that people would assume that Bert and Ernie are actually a gay couple. Well, lately people have been saying it's time for Bert and Ernie to come out. An online petition called for them to get married. One of the advocates said, we're not asking that Sesame Street do anything crude or disrespectful. It can be done in a tasteful way, the marriage between Bert and Ernie. Let us teach tolerance of those that are different. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse thinks about that on the other side of the break in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.